Our scripture reading this morning will be James chapter 2. It'll be verses 14 through 20. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for instructing us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for showing us who you are. Thank you for showing us who we are. Lord, we just thank you for these instructions here. We thank you for this letter of James, and we pray that as we look at this section here that you would teach us this morning, Lord, that we would honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One mark of a true believer is genuine faith. And with that faith comes works. The Christian life is a life of faith and works. Now, the Christian life is not a life of works with no faith. It's not a life of work, just trying to earn favor with God, just working hard and worrying constantly that you possibly have not done enough to secure your position with God. And it's taking pride in and then taking pride in all the work that you have done. That is not Christian at all. But on the flip side, neither is the Christian life a life of faith with no works. It's not a life of just sitting back and relax, just put your feet up, just have faith in Christ that he has done it all, and so there's nothing left for you to do, and you can just continue on living the way you've always lived because you believe in God, so you're good. That likewise is not Christian either. The Christian life is a life of genuine faith, which bears the fruit of good works. And that's what James is telling us here in this section, as he makes these distinctions between true, genuine faith and dead, useless faith. And so the message for us here is that, you know, this is just another mark of a true believer, as James has been going through here. A true believer has genuine faith, not a useless, dead faith. And so you may say, well, how can you tell? How can you tell if your faith is genuine? Just look at the fruit. Look at the evidence. You will see your faith on display in the works that you do. You will see your faith on display in the works that you do. Does your life express a righteous behavior that's in line with God's word? is there evidence on the outside of a supernatural transformation on the inside? More specifically, you might ask yourself the question, because in light of the illustration that James gives us in this section, you might ask yourself, is your life marked by acts of compassion, showing mercy, serving others? These questions of self-examination will help us to answer the question regarding the validity of your faith. Do you have genuine saving faith? Or is it useless? Is it a dead faith? You know, this matter of faith is really no small matter. Certainly, it is a matter of life and death. And I'm so grateful to the Lord to have the opportunity to preach through this section this morning, because we all need to hear this clarification on faith. We need to be reminded. As we go through this passage, it's my desire that everyone here who is a true believer with genuine faith would rejoice in the assurance of your salvation. I mean, we should praise God for the transformation that He has done in our lives. But I also desire for everyone here who is not a born-again believer that you would see the deadness of your faith, the uselessness of your false profession, and that from a sincere heart you would cry out to the Lord, that He would save you from your sinful state. Last week I mentioned the passage about the fact that the world claims that there's so many different right ways, and yet God has said, no, there's only one. It's in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And really, I'm reminded of that once again in this passage, because this passage is all about faith, and faith is, really today, faith is used so often as really a generic term. People speak of having faith all the time. Movies are made and put in a category of faith films. And yet, they are not speaking of trusting in Christ as your Savior and living a transformed life. If that's what you think, you will be very disappointed in all the movies you see in this faith category. What they mean so often when they say faith, just have faith. Have faith. This is the message. Have faith. Just believe. And you hear this and you're just begging for an explanation. In what? Believe in what? Have faith in what? But it really isn't there. So often the answer is just have faith. I mean, just believe. Maybe believe in yourself, but often it's just believe. Just believe that it'll all work out. Just believe. You know, and I hear people who have gone through incredible trials, and they say, oh, my faith carried me through. What? You know, I just had to have faith. That is so vague. That is so vague. You see, every faith is not the same faith. And we see that clearly in this passage. All faith is not the same. There is faith that is genuine faith, and then there's faith that's dead faith. And James here explains the difference So today we're going to look at James 2, 14 through 20. And I call it faith without works. Faith without works. And then next time we'll look at the next few verses, 21 through 26, faith with works. But for today, faith without works. And so first we see some questions asked here in verse 14, which then the entire section through 26 then proceeds to answer. So verse 14 begins, "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" Well, here James, it's as if he presents a scenario here for the purpose of teaching the distinctions of faith, and because faith is not the same. Notice here that he does not say that this man has faith, but that the man says he has faith. Okay, he is professing faith. But at the same time, he has no works. And so he's saying, what if a man makes a profession of faith, but his life shows no evidence, no sign of his claim to faith? What use is this? What value is there in that profession? Can that profession of faith save him? Certainly the short answer is none. There is no use, there is no benefit to having a faith that bears no fruit. Certainly this faith cannot save. And that's really the answer that we get continually through this section. This faith, a faith with no works, is referred to throughout this section as useless faith, dead faith. You see, without the works, a man is claiming something but proving nothing. It's by the works that a man shows what kind of faith he actually has. Now, certainly, I'm sure we all know people like this. They claim to be a follower of Christ, but their life shows no sign whatsoever of following the Lord. No evidence at all that Christ has redeemed them. And so James is here telling us that their actions testify accurately of the kind of faith that they have. Now, certainly we can acknowledge that there are different works, there are different observations we can make of people that we see as to whether or not, as to which kind of faith they have. You might listen to someone's language that they use, the priorities that they have in their life, different things, but different signs. But consider the example that James gives us here in verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food. So here, through this illustration, James shows us how this faith without works plays out. What does this look like? This is what it looks like. And so in this case, there's someone in need. Really, someone who needs help immediately. They're cold, but don't have warm clothes. They're hungry, but don't have anything to eat. And so their needs are imminent. They need help right now. The implication here is that they're right in front of you. you're standing face to face with him, and the big question is, what will you do? What will you do? Verse 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? What use is it to offer that hurting person, that suffering person, what use is it to offer them encouraging words? Go in peace. Be warmed and be filled. The words make it sound like they care. But the lack of action, lack of works, show that they don't care at all. Your actions show where your heart really is. So often those with this dead faith, they have a false compassion. It may involve, in this case, words that sound compassionate. Be warmed and be filled. They may have other signs of false compassion. But when it gets right down to it, their actions speak loud and clear. Your actions show where your heart really is. Those words of compassion, they're empty words. If the naked, hungry man walks away just as cold and hungry as when he came up to you, what use is that? What use is that? Verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith without works is dead and useless. Really, it reminds me of verse 22 of chapter 1. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. There, it's, are you listening to what's right, but not doing it? And then here, are you talking about what's right, but still not doing it? Faith without works is a worthless faith. There's a profession, but when the rubber meets the road, there's nothing there. Are you claiming with your words to be following Christ, and yet your actions, your works, your life do not resemble Christ at all? That's not a saving faith. It's an empty profession. Saying, I believe in God, I trust in Christ, but then there's no evidence. There's no brokenness over your sin. There's no repentance. There's no obedience. There's no mercy shown. This is not a saving faith. You see, when Christ saves us, he does not just change our eternal destination, but he changes us. He changes us. Isn't that glorious? When Christ saves us, he doesn't just change our eternal destination. He doesn't just say, okay, instead of hell, now you're going to heaven. But he changes us. And as a result, we live changed lives. Listen, if you are professing Christ as your Savior and you're living the same life you did before, you're not broken over your sin, not really interested in God's Word, don't love the church, don't have compassion for the poor, your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. As verse 17 puts it, your faith, if it has no works, is dead. It's by itself. It's by itself. What do you have? You have a profession. That's it. You have a profession of faith. Now, before we look at 18 through 20, first, I want to clarify exactly what James is speaking about. You know, I don't want anyone to be confused with all this emphasis on works. God makes it so clear in His Word that we are not saved by our works. And that's not what James is saying here. There's no contradiction here. James is not saying that you are saved by your works, but rather that you are saved for good works. And one passage that explains this so well, I think helps us understand the difference, is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Familiar verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. It's not our works that save us. Then verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're not saved by good works. We're saved by God's grace through faith. But once we've been saved, once we've been created in Christ Jesus, then we have work to do. We have these good works. We are called God's workmanship. And God has already prepared these good works for us to do. It's like once God gives us genuine faith, then we're joined with Christ. And we're joined with Christ in doing His work. He radically changes our life. And it shows. It shows. Now back to James in verse 18. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here it's an interesting exchange, kind of a one-sided conversation, but looking at the wording here at the beginning of the verse here, comparing these two people, it says, one has faith and the other has works. I think James is pointing out that the unbeliever who is professing faith really has nothing except for that profession of faith. That's all he has. While on the other hand, the genuine believer has works. And it's interesting there, his profession of faith isn't even mentioned at first. It just says one has faith and one has works. I think, again, because I think James is showing that this one has so much more than the other one. He has works. He has a changed life. He has that is constantly testifying of his faith. His works show his faith. I think the word show is key here. Show me your faith. Show me your faith without the works. It's as if James is calling out the one with dead faith and making the point that you really have nothing to show. You can't show your faith or prove your faith without works. There's no evidence. So in other words, without works, without living a changed life, you have no proof of your faith. You have nothing to show for your profession. But then the last line, I will show you my faith by my works. This is really it. Genuine faith is not invisible. Genuine faith is not invisible. There is something to show. The lives that we live testify to which faith we have. It shows. It shows. The fruit shows. If you have saving faith, you'll have good works. Your life will show that you are in Christ. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Here it's as if James is comparing the man with dead faith to demons. His point is that just because you know the truth about God doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you believe in God does not mean you have saving faith. The demons believe. The demons know who God is, and they're terrified of Him. But they hate Him. They don't worship Him. They don't love God. I think the point here is that salvation is not merely an intellectual understanding. There are many people who know the gospel, who profess to be Christians, but they are not saved. They have not been transformed, and their sinful life shows it. Several passages I need to read have everything to do with this. Titus 1, 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Listen to this. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. That's what James is talking about. A few more passages. In Matthew, Matthew 7, start reading in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Also in Matthew, it's in chapter 25, starting in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, it isn't doing God's will that saves you. It's doing God's will that is the evidence that you're saved, that you're His, that you have genuine faith. Verse 20 then, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? The foolish fellow here really are those unbelievers who profess to have faith in God and yet are continuing to walk in darkness. And James is saying that they need to recognize how foolish they are to think that their faith is useful for anything, much less to save them. I mean, you should know by the inconsistency of your life that you're not saved. It makes no sense to claim that you're in the light by faith in the Lord and at the same time to live in sin, to remain in darkness. But that's what faith without works is. The outcome is useless. More specifically, eternal death and condemnation in hell. So in conclusion, James' point here is not that those who have genuine faith, you really need to step up your game. I mean, you really need to work more. More good works. Get after it. That's not his point at all. This is very much what Christ does in our life as he transforms us. That this is evidence that he has changed us. The Christian life is a life of genuine faith, which produces the fruit of good works. Genuine faith is not invisible, but it can be seen in the lives of God's children. We should never take pride for the transformed life that we live, for any of the good works that we do. It's all because of Christ. He gets all the glory. But what a privilege we have. What a privilege to be in the light. To be a light, shining the light of Christ in this dark world. What a privilege to walk in those good works that God has prepared for us to do. You see, a Christian doesn't just have a good profession of faith. But they have good works that point to that reality. They live a life of serving Christ by serving others. It's not a faith in word only, but in deed. You can see it. Faith without works is dead. It's useless. It cannot save. But genuine faith is not dead. Not only does it save us, but it leads us to all kinds of good works that reflect the glory of God. Praise God for the work that he has done in our lives. He is at work. Again, there's no boasting in us. We haven't accomplished this. God has done it. But there's evidence. There's evidence that prove that we're not lying when we profess Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done in us. Lord, we don't deserve the mercy you've shown us. Lord, we are humbled not only by the mercy that you show us, but by the fact that because of you in us, we can show mercy to others. You are using us in this way to show compassion and mercy to those around us. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities. We thank you for the good works that you have prepared for us to walk in. Lord, we thank you for the faith that you have gifted us. A faith that completely changes our lives, not just our destination. Lord, I pray for those who do not know you. Lord, for those that are here that don't know you. Lord, for those that we will all come into contact with this week who don't know you. so many have a profession of faith that's dead and useless. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Give us the words to speak, Lord, that we might speak life to them. Lord, I pray that you would work your will in our lives, that you would use us for these good works that you have prepared, that we would honor you, that your kingdom would grow, that the lost sinner would repent and turn to Christ with true, genuine faith. We thank you, Lord, for this passage. We pray that we would honor you, that we would bring glory to you in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.